Tell us how close you've kept in touch with Joe and a lot of your teammates from this 93 Blue Jays squad.
Joe and I are in touch on a regular. I probably talk to Joe maybe once a month.
Yeah.
Devon White and I are close. Todd Stottlemyre. Everybody remember Todd is still probably the best friend I have in the world. Occasionally I run across Paul Molitor. You know, he's doing work with the Minnesota Twins. I haven't seen Robbie since last year, but I am in good communication with Joe on a regular.
Yeah.
Was there something about that 93 team, Dave, that created friendships that lasted for life? Is there something special that put that in place?
Well, I mean, for me, Paul Molitor is a guy that I always wanted to play with. Joe Carter is a guy that from across the field I always wanted to play with. I think when you see the upper level guys, that you're competing against from across the field, you always, if you get an opportunity, you want to play with those guys. You want to have an opportunity to see what they do in the same dugout versus from across the field. And Joe Carter, I'm telling you, for I don't know how many years, always found a way to get a runner in from third base, and he always found a way to get that big hit. And Paul Molitor likewise, Olerud and Alomar. I mean, when you think about the guys that were on the 93 team, I mean, that was a team that I was a part of, but 92 was just as special. You've got to think in your mind, if you're competing against those guys, you want to have a chance to join them.
And Joe did that in Cleveland, too. I mean, growing up, he did that all. You know, the Indians didn't have a lot of talent around him, but every time you'd play Cleveland, there he'd be. I don't know how he did it, but he'd end up with 115 RBI every year because he was Joe and he could get guys in.
Yep. I mean, you don't recognize it as much in Cleveland because it's Cleveland.
Yeah.
But when you put him in a spotlight, you put him in a city like Toronto with the fan support that this ball club had, it's a totally different thing. It takes it to a different level. And you know, Joe's one of those guys that deserved an opportunity to play on a big stage and be able to show his skills, and he did. He did it well.
You gained a reputation, Dave, and rightly so, as being a guy, no matter what team you played for, that you could be counted on in the biggest game, especially in the postseason. Why are some players able to do that and others just can't rise to the occasion?
You know, I wish I had the answer to that. What worked for me is just making sure that I kept the same composure, that I thought about that game to be no different than any other baseball game. I mean, when you go out and you compete to the best of your ability every time that you take the ball, then it becomes just a part of the way that you play. And so now that you're in the postseason, it's really no different than what you put yourself in a position to do and the things that you've dreamt about.
You were also, I think every Toronto Blue Jays fan would say this. You guys set the standard in Oakland from 88 through, I know Minnesota won the 1 year, but 88 through 92, that was the measuring stick everybody measured themselves by. Any Blue Jays fan would say, nobody ever thought they'd beat Oakland until that Alomar home run. When did you realize this Toronto team, we can't kick them around like we did in 89. They might be here to stay, and next thing you know, you're on the team the next year.
Well, I mean, you could see the ball club developing and, you know, not knowing Pat Gillick at that time, but having an opportunity to meet Pat once I got here and then watch him through the years, you knew that he had a plan. And that plan was to develop a team, to build a team, to build an organization that would every year show up at some point in the playoffs and possibly in the World Series. I mean, it started with, you know, the like I said, the development players. Then you're talking about the guy who managed the ball club. Once you got Cito Gaston in here, a guy who could manage personalities and do great things on the field, you knew what the plan was going to be. It was just a matter of time for them. And you can believe me, in 1992, I tried to keep them from getting there.
I know.
Why did that Oakland team not win more World Series? They were so stocked.
You know, you've got to play as a team. To win back-to-back years, you've got to play as a team. You've got to have the great chemistry inside your clubhouse and on the field. And I don't think that we played as cohesively in the playoffs as we did during the course of the year.
Last thing for you, Dave. This Toronto team struggling to win games right now. They are starting to win. But you've seen it all throughout your career and in management. It takes time to build chemistry. It takes time to build. So you can put talent in one place, but like Toronto did, even like the Oakland team in the mid to late 80s, it takes time to build a winner, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you've got to, as I said, you know, you've got to start watching the pieces. You've got to handpick the correct players to play together that are going to bring things together. No championship team, I promise you, wins with just three or four or five superstar guys. Our teams were put together with the Oakland teams, for example. We had guys like Mike Gallego. Walter Weiss is managing the Colorado Rockies. You know, you had different guys that served their part in the success of a ball club. Our team in Toronto, not every piece was looked at as a great piece. Pat Borders was a great guy behind the plate that put our pitching staff together and managed that staff and made a lot of us winners and made us pitch above the level of our talent in most cases. And so it takes putting the right pieces together, but it also takes the special man to lead those people, to get that talent to play together, to get the best ability out of those guys. And Cito Gaston was that guy.